Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad that you are with us here on this Tuesday morning, the 16th day of April. And we still got lots to get to this morning. We're going to talk to Catherine Gorka coming up at the bottom of the hour. She's written a book out on how to combat issues we're seeing pop up in schools across the country, right? And the fact that we've pushed hard here for changes to school board makeups to try to impact some of that. What's the other answer? We're going to get to Catherine at the bottom of the hour. Yes, the wife of syndicated talk show host Sebastian Gorka, in fact, who used to be in the Trump administration. So we will get her thoughts on that here at about 8:35 this morning. Just a quick reminder, we do have our event coming up Thursday. The Spring Fling, the Bourbon Spring Fling, it's going to be over at the Clayton Winehouse. Still tickets available, just $35. Come and hang out with me and Kim and Carl. Yep. Ethan, I'm hoping, will be there.
And free parking, by the way.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about street parking and trying to pay for all that. There's a couple lots that you can get right there.
Yep.
Free.
Sometimes that is an issue in Clayton. So just so you know, that'll be easy for you, and we'll have a great time on this Thursday night. Go to 971talk.com, and you'll see the sign-up sheet right there. You can do it online. So hope to see you out there on Thursday. Now, there's been a lot of talk about the education bill in Missouri. It's passed the Senate. It's still pending in the House. They would need to get it to the governor's desk by the end of the session, which is just about a month away. It includes these empowerment scholarships, and it expands who would have those available to them. I wanted to talk to someone about this who's directly impacted by it. And this morning we have Dr. Greg Clark on the phone, superintendent at the North County Christian School. Dr. Clark, welcome in.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being with me this morning. Tell me how this program, which was already in existence, this bill would just expand it some, has impacted your school.
Well, this current year is the second year of the scholarship program, and we currently have about 10% of our students who qualify for and receive the scholarships. So it's had a definite great impact in giving access to more families to private Christian education.
Yeah, and I know that's there have been some people certainly that were opposed to this from the get-go for that reason. They don't like seeing that money leaving what might be public education and going. But in this case, all of this money is donated, correct?
Yes, it's directly donated as a tax credit that donors can get. It's a 100% tax credit they can receive for up to 50% of their Missouri tax obligation.
Yeah.
So it's not pulling from the school funding formula at all.
Right. And if I understand it correctly, right now the limit's about $62,000 a year for a family of four for them to qualify. This new bill would raise that to $93,000. Would you expect that then to have a much bigger impact on North County Christian?
Absolutely. I mean, it would open it to more families that right now, you know, maybe on the bubble there of needing some financial assistance or being able to pay tuition, and this would just expand that that window of opportunity to families.
Dr. Clark, I know that this specific legislation doesn't include vouchers, but would you support including that at some point where people can take their tax dollars?
You know, that's a different question. I'm not opposed to it. I did spend 28 years in the public schools. I'm well aware of the funding formula and the dynamics of that and the challenges of keeping that funded. But, you know, I know that choice for families is a big deal, too. And so, you know, other ways that we can give students opportunity. But I think expanding this one is a great opportunity. And would love to see it expanded, both from just expanding the cap on the amount of tax credits that could be issued to expanding the window of, you know, qualifying incomes for families.
So. Yeah. And, you know, this is to me, it's the inability to have this option most severely impacts the people who can least afford to move their children to a different school in the event that, you know, that they feel their kids aren't being served or that the school district is not accredited or whatever the case happens to be. Without this option, these are people who financially are limited enough, generally speaking, that they wouldn't be able to afford private school tuition, right?
That's correct. I mean, they initially built the guidelines around the free and reduced lunch qualifier income and gave up to, you know, a window of up to 200% of those incomes, but the first tier of recipients that have to be funded are those that meet are at the 100% of the free and reduced lunch income.
What are some of the reasons that parents have told you as far as why they are wanting to send their kids to North County Christian School?
Well, one, I mean, as a Christian school, we have a lot that simply want a Christian education where the Bible and Christian values can be taught right along with their academics. And secondly, you know, there are maybe challenges within the school where they are, and whether that's an unaccredited school, which there have been some in the area, or just, you know, challenges of large schools where kids may be getting lost in the mix, or maybe feeling their issues of bullying or not fitting in or struggling with those challenges that are there. Maybe within the public school where they are.
Sure. Does DESE have any influence over what you guys do at this point?
I'm sorry, does what?
DESE, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, do they have a lot of influence over what you guys do in your school and your curriculum?
No, they have no real influence over our curriculum at all. We are a registered non-public school with the state. There's a process where non-publics can register, and therefore we can receive some of the federal funding with Title II that provides for professional development for our teachers. Mm-hmm. And those kinds of things. And we've benefited from that. But there is no, you know, we're very careful if funding is tied to a particular curriculum movement or asking us to change something we would do, we wouldn't accept those funds. In this case, with these scholarships, there are no strings like that attached to it.
Very good. Dr. Greg Clark, I appreciate your time this morning, sir. Thanks for telling us how this might impact your school.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Superintendent up at North County Christian, just to give people some, I mean, that's, I didn't know that, but I'm glad to hear that they're not, the money they would receive from DESE for any reason doesn't come with strings attached in terms of their curriculum or anything.
I mean, that's such a key difference, and I would imagine why a lot of parents are leaving. I would think it would be parents wanting to switch to a private Christian school because of indoctrination, CRT, DEI that's infiltrated a lot of the public schools. But to his point, I mean, he was saying bullying, people just want a Christian education where that's in part of the normal day, you know?
Right.
But I just think so many parents right now are struggling with their kids in public schools. They don't even know where to turn because it's expensive to go to some of these other schools.
And you don't have options. If it's your money that you're contributing, not by choice, but by force to the school system, the school system's not serving your needs, that money should be portable. Period. End of discussion. But that's not in this bill, so don't confuse the two. This is something we've done as sort of an end run around vouchers. Some states have gone to vouchers, and I fully support that idea at some point. I really do. All right, coming up, Catherine Gorka at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk to her, author of Next Gen Marxism. That's the title of the book, What It Is and How to Fight It, at 8:35.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Carl, you are a walking encyclopedia of rock and roll. Can I just tell you that?
I just learned that today, though.
So this is not about Jerry Lee's 14-year-old wife. What was this story about?
This story was about his sixth divorce.
Number six, excuse me?
Yes.
He was divorced, married and divorced six times.
Did
he marry again after
that? Correctly.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
But, you know, I think this one was like his babysitter.
He married his babysitter?
Well, he did like him young. There's no doubt about that. Oh, well, off that story for a moment.
2003. Oh, she was the president of his fan club.
Nice.
His sixth wife, Carrie.
So, what in the world is Nikki Haley up to these days? It's been nice not having to hear from her in about a month, don't you think? Out there bashing President Trump every day. Then when she was gone, baby... She was gone. I assume she tried to go back and get on the board at Boeing, and that didn't work out. So she has now announced she's joining the Hudson Institute, which is a conservative foreign policy think tank. I don't know how much that pays, but that's what she's doing.
I mean, it's kind of what we expected, right? That she'd go serve on some board and make a bunch of money, and then likely in 4 years run again?
Yeah, I figured she would go to some sort of corporate board, though, because there's no way a nonprofit like that is probably paying a bunch of cash. It would, however, probably bolster her national security cred, I guess, for next time around, to argue that she was the chairman of her foreign policy department or whatever, maybe.
Yeah, I'm trying to Google this right now. I'm really curious now.
Yeah, yeah. She's Hudson's work is so critical. When our policymakers fail to call out our enemies or acknowledge the importance of alliances, the world is less safe.
Oh, it sounds like in 2020 she gave a speech at the Hudson Institute supporting capitalism.
Yes. Well, I'm glad she supports capitalism. That's a good thing. It's like selling a book and making several million dollars and sticking it in the bank. That's capitalism. That worked out well for her.
This should be interesting.
I'm just not a fan, and particularly if she had just dropped out after Iowa or after maybe. I see why she wanted to stick into South Carolina, where she got embarrassed in her own home state. But to become the Chris Christie of the Republican Party and make it your personal goal to try to damage the guy who's going to be the nominee, there's never any doubt about that, really disappointed me in Nikki Haley. And I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get over that.
Do you think that in 4 years, when I believe she will absolutely run again, that she'll somehow try to twist the, what, two states that she won, three,
oh,
the tiny
yeah.
little state she won, to say, I was able to beat Donald Trump in three states for the primary?
I received hundreds of thousands of votes, but even though they weren't enough to win in any of the categories, and you got beaten by someone else on one of them.
Oh, I thought that was Joe Biden who got beat by, wasn't it literally anybody else was what people were writing in?
I think so. She came in second to
just about anybody else. I don't know. But regardless, she's out there at the Hudson Institute. It seemed like in the past we've maybe had a foreign policy expert or somebody on from Hudson. It will not be Nikki Haley. I'll tell you that.
Can you imagine again. Nikki Haley, our guest this morning? Nikki, how have things been going?
I was on the Never Nikki train with Rand Paul for a while there. How you been there, Nick? What are you doing these days?
You're calling her Nick now? Nick. You guys are that tight?
I used to live in South Carolina. I can get away with that, right? All right. Coming up, Catherine Gorka is going to join us, author of a book called Next Gen Marxism, what it is and how to combat it. We'll get to her right after the break. Stay tuned. We talk about this problem here all the time, particularly in the recent school board elections, right? What's going on in our schools? What is DEI? What is CRT? It reduces individuals and defines them by their race, their ethnicity, their sexual identity. We got kids being indoctrinated into these radical ideologies, and you feel like you've lost control. And then maybe you have to ask yourself every once in a while, how did this happen? How did we get to where we are right now? And I want to introduce my next guest. Catherine Gorka is with us. She's the author of a new book called Next Gen Marxism, What It Is and How to Combat It, along with Mike Gonzalez. And Catherine, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you for giving us some time. I know you used to work at Heritage. Did you work there with Mike?
Yeah, exactly. That's how we got to know each other.
That's awesome. I've had him on the show before, too, in the past. I think we all probably have our own ideas about what Marxism is and what it isn't. Why next-gen Marxism? What do people need to know about what's going on in the world?
Well, it's exactly what you identified in your introduction. It's the fact that they seem to have put our children on the front line in their culture war. So as you know, Marxism is really, I think the most important thing about Marxism is really that it's a worldview that divides the world into two and says there are two sides and they cannot reconcile their differences. One will have to destroy the other, right? That's the fundamental of aspect of Marxism. And what we're seeing today, in Marxism's day, as well as in Lenin's, the two sides were the workers on the one hand and then the sort of the owners of the businesses or the bourgeoisie on the other hand. Well, that's no longer the case. Right. Today, we know it's sort of white heterosexuals on the one hand and then almost everybody else on the other.
Yeah.
They've created this victim class made up of, anybody of a non-white ethnicity or anybody of a non-heterosexual sexual orientation. And their argument is, we cannot solve our differences. We cannot work together for a better world. But they want to destroy us, and they won't stop until they do.
It seems like they're teaching these kids about this at such a crazy young age. In your research, I mean, what did you find as far as the ways that they're going about kind of infiltrating this into even school curriculum and the way they teach kids?
Yeah, it's coming in, you're right, at an incredibly early age. I mean, we've all seen the stories of, the truly pornographic books that are going into libraries and into schools at ridiculous ages. The fact that they're teaching kids to explore their gender and their sexual orientation, honestly, even in like kindergarten and up into those early grades, it's crazy. But I think what's equally disturbing is the way they're infusing this into the most traditional classes like English and math. They're trying to infuse this cultural indoctrination. They're putting in, discussions about racism and anti-Americanism and colonialism and supremacy and victimhood into all grades and all subjects.
I've wondered about this for a long time, that the 1960s kind of radicals, the ones that of course, the offspring of that was a Barack Obama, somebody that was kind of raised by people who were in that 1960s radical class. Are they the ones? I mean, they've moved on to become college presidents and journalists and all of this stuff. Have they just taken this and kind of transformed it and helped put this in place?
Yeah, I would say 100%. I mean, that's what we found in doing the research. The linchpin is really the 1960s radicals. So, you know, the way they kind of got started, there was a real turning point, I would say, in the late 1950s, where there was a shift from thinking about, you know, Marxism, communism in the traditional sense, right, where the revolution was focused on the worker. In the late 1950s, there was a real change to what was called the New Left. And that the belief was students and intellectuals would be the new revolutionaries, you know, along with blacks who were victimized. Right. And it's really interesting because you had such radicalization going on throughout the 60s, and that you get to the end of the 60s and they realize their revolution had failed. So those student radicals kind of went one of three directions. Some went even more radical, right, into the Weather Underground, which was a very active terrorist organization. Some went fully into organizing, and you mentioned Obama. So one of the groups that was formed was something called the Midwest, the Midwest Academy, starting around 1969, using Saul Alinsky's methods. They started training people. They're still at it 50 years later. They trained Barack Obama, right? And then you had a third group that went into the universities and really started working to transform the universities. And yes, these are the seeds of what we are seeing today.
In your book, I was reading about it on Amazon, and it talks about how you say the best days for the U.S. are still ahead of us. And I have to be honest, I want to be hopeful, but it just feels like we're spiraling. What are you seeing? Why do you say that the best days are still ahead?
Look, I'm a fighter. I am not going to sort of give up here. If I don't hold on to my optimism, I think I would die from despair, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it's not an unfounded optimism. I'd say it's two things. One is when I was at the Heritage Foundation, I had the really good fortune of getting involved very early on with these parent groups that started popping up all over the country to take back their children's education. You know, I know you see some of it in the news, like Moms for Liberty, Moms for America, Parents Defending Education. But I'm telling you, it goes so much deeper than that. There are thousands of groups all over the country that are fighting to regain control of this situation and regain control of their kids' education. That makes me hopeful. And then I have to say the other thing is, I think it's my own activism. Like when I wrote the book, I said, you know, I'm not just going to treat this as an intellectual exercise. And I myself have gotten really involved. So I was actually just elected as the chairman of the Fairfax County GOP. And in the course of running for that position, I was so encouraged by the hundreds of people that I met who are completely fed up and ready to do what it takes to fight back. Like, I think people have kind of reached the point where the time for being timid or the time for being afraid is past, and it's time to just, we got to go all out to fight for our country. That makes me hopeful.
I love that. Catherine Gorka, the book is called Next Gen Marxism, What It Is and How to Combat It. You can find it on Amazon or wherever you buy your books. You know, I mentioned earlier when I was teasing the fact that you'd be on that I met your husband. I've had him on the show a few times, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. You guys combined are a great force for good. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for saying that. Yeah, well, he taught me a lot of what I know. And I have to say, you know, for a long time, when I first knew him, when we were first married, I was kind of your typical, like, very polite, waspy, you know, American, not really willing to engage in these fights. And, you know, over time, I've really changed. And I'll tell you, part of what changed me was being an appointee in the Trump administration. I served on his transition team and then went into the Department of Homeland Security. And when I experienced firsthand not just the insane attacks on the administration from the left, but from inside. I mean, two of the people that I worked with closely turned out to be part of the Lincoln Project,
wow.
which, as you know, set out, they were alleged Republicans who set out to subvert the Trump administration. So, you know, all those combined experiences sort of make you a fighter.
Well, thank you for what you do. Catherine Gorka, we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Next Gen Marxism, the title of the book, and I'm going to have to get that and read it on my upcoming vacation.
And I can totally relate to that, where you were kind of too scared to speak out, and now it's like, all right, let's go.
Yeah, we're
well,
done.
I'm ready. Yeah, we're on the battleship.
She's a fighter. That's great. I'm glad she's involved in the fight, no doubt about it. All right, quick break. We're going to be back right after this. All right, you know this song, don't you? Everybody knows the words. Let's sing along. All right, happy birthday to my beautiful wife, Michelle. So if you know Michelle Cox, be sure and give her a shout-out today on social media.
Happy birthday, Michelle.
Yeah, happy birthday.
I know what she wants, too, Mark. She told me.
What does she want, Carl?
She wants tickets to go see Willie Nelson.
I she'd probably go see that concert, to
no,
be honest.
No, she told me that's what she wants you to get her for her birthday.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I saw her last week.
Did she text you and say, I want tickets to Willie Nelson?
And Bob Dylan.
Yeah, as long as it's not Sammy Hagar, I think maybe she'd be happy.
I did ask her what she wanted for her birthday, and she said, you better not buy me anything, because we're about to take a nice trip, and she wants to spend the money while we're on our trip. So
that's kind of where I would say the same thing.
That's kind of dangerous, though, when your wife tells you, it's my birthday, but don't get me anything.
Yeah, but
then if you don't get her anything, then you risk getting in the doghouse for a while, you know?
But I know I've only spent a little time with Michelle at that one event, but I feel like she just seems like she would be down to earth, not, you know, oh, I have to have a present on every single anniversary and every single birthday.
No, she's not like that. She doesn't like flowers. Generally speaking, in the past, has not wanted me to get her chocolate, like on Valentine's Day, because it's just extra calories.
Yeah.
So that's fairly low maintenance, would you say?
I mean, I like the idea of chocolate, and then I regret it after I eat all of it myself.
Yeah.
My husband's like, did you seriously eat that whole chocolate bunny? Why, yes, I did. Was it hollow? Nope. It was solid.
You don't buy the hollow ones. You don't buy the those are cheap.
Hollow ones
taste waxy.
And everyone's like, just throw it away. Don't eat it. I'm like, do you know me at all? I cannot do that. I don't like to waste food. I go, if my son Easton leaves food sometimes on his little high chair, I'm like, well, I should eat that. I'll pick it up. I ate some leftover hard-boiled egg yesterday when I got home.
Just depends on what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
My standards are pretty low.
like fish sticks? Probably not.
Yeah, I might.
What if it's something you don't care for?
Well, then I wouldn't eat it. But like, even if Easton throws food on the floor, sometimes I'm like, well, if the 5-second rule applies, I just pop it in my mouth.
Okay. You clearly don't have a dog.
No.
No.
I basically am the dog.
My grand dog got fat after the grandbaby came along because he was constantly either feeding her or throwing food onto the floor, and they had to put her on a diet because she got so chunky.
We should probably have a dog at our house, though,
just
because I would make me stop eating the food off the floor.
When it hits the floor, there is no 5-second rule. The dog is all over it. So you don't have to worry about those kinds of things.
Smart dog.
For sure. Smart dog. Hey, by the way, we should remind you, it is Tuesday. In 2 days, we are going to get together for the Spring Bourbon Fling out at the Clayton Wine House. Now, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know I love bourbon. And they are going to have lots of it. Lots of it for you to sample. A lot of the vendors are going to be there from Lore Wine and Spirits, which means, of course, Four Roses and New Riff. Old Dominic, RD1, which is pretty new bourbon on the market. Not that it's new bourbon. I mean, it's well-aged bourbon. It's outstanding. If you haven't tried that Ambarana Wood RD1, I'm sure you'll get to sample that on Thursday night. Redwood Empire, Green River, a bunch of them. Oak and Eden. Plus, if you're not into wine, you want to bring somebody, if you're not into bourbon, there's going to be wine there. There's Big O ginger liqueur.
There'll be giveaways, appetizers,
and the parking.
And the parking. And I want to emphasize that because I think when you hear Clayton, you're like, oh gosh, but there's free parking and it's not street parking. There's a couple lots where anyone going will be able to park there. So if that's a deterrent, I mean, don't worry about that.
Yep.
We've got you covered.
971talk.com. Just click on the link there for the Spring Bourbon Fling, and you can buy your tickets for just $35. It's really inexpensive for what you're getting for it and all the bourbon you'll be able to sample. So hope to see you on Thursday night. Brian Kilman will be up next with the latest on that scam of a Trump trial that's going on in New York. And we'll see you back here Wednesday morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.